It's episode number 3 of In Session with me, Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Ann Alquist.
We take a weekly short look at all things state government while legislators are in session, sprinting over the next few months to set policies that affect all of us. And if you have kids in school like me, there was no shortage of topics to keep track of, but today we're going to focus on
with K through 12, which would in both cases require the Ten Commandments to be displayed on the classroom walls.
State House Representative Jeff Hoverson introducing HB 1145.
The text and the size, what it has to say, number two, you know, how it should be displayed, et cetera, et cetera.
You watched the testimony, and was this a well-attended hearing?
Yeah, it was. They had actually had to limit who spoke in favor of the bill and who spoke in opposition. Five spoke for it, five spoke against it, opposing the bill. So Pat Dean, a former principal, and who said he had the Ten Commandments on his desk every day when he was working in schools, was one who spoke in favor.
The Ten Commandments have a highly historical value and are the benchmarks for morality in our society.
Well, it sounds like the desire to support the values we all pretty much agree on, you know, don't kill people, don't cheat, respect your mom and dad are there, but the U.S. Supreme Court has pretty much decided this, posting the Ten Commandments is a violation of the First Amendment.
You know, the First Amendment is so famously associated with free speech. That's how we hear the context of it. Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of the press. But the first several words of the First Amendment actually are
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
So requiring schools to post the Ten Commandments has been argued violates what's known as the Establishment Clause, that phrase, establishing a religion. It makes a law establishing a religion, and it's called the Lemon Test. The Supreme Court case, not the fruit, it's called Lemon versus Kurtzman, went in front of the Supreme Court in 1971. But that did not find it unconstitutional. In 2022, the Supreme Court abandoned the Lemon Test for the Kennedy Test, not the former president, the court case. That catalyzed a number of bills in state legislatures across the country to place the Ten Commandments in public schools and colleges. Louisiana, Texas, and
of course, North Dakota.
The NDSBA opposes HB 1145 because it would cause public school districts to violate the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, likely subjecting our schools to costly litigation and legal challenges.
So that's Chris Ann Norby Janner. She's legal counsel for the North Dakota School District Association, speaking at testimony opposed to HB 1145.
Cases that have been heard in federal courts across the country since Stone have consistently emphasized the impressionability of our young students and the fact that they are a captive audience in a school building and they are significantly influenced.
You can hear her referencing another Supreme Court case, Stone.
That was a case from Kentucky where the Supreme Court found posting the Ten Commandments unconstitutional. But for the opponents, it does sound like this is a constitutional issue.
It is, but it's more than that. It's more than just the constitutionality question. It's that the largest educational spaces that would be affected, where the most students are also the school districts with the most diversity. And North Dakota is seeing a lot of diversity growth in Fargo, West Fargo, Bismarck, which includes children who don't practice Christianity. This is a recent high school graduate, Olivia Data.
This bill is not about teaching. It's not even about instilling moral values in our state's youth. It's about control. Morality doesn't come from a poster on the wall, and requiring the Ten Commandments to be posted in every classroom in our state will ostracize those who are not religious or who are part of faiths that don't follow the Ten Commandments.
Her testimony sent a message that this didn't solve a lot of the problems facing schools. She advocated for the legislature to focus on what she thought were more pressing issues: teacher retention, there's a teacher shortage, addressing social problems by providing better services for students. I should also mention, Eric, there is actually a law in the books in North Dakota that allows schools to display the Ten Commandments as long as it's displayed with other historical documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence.
So, Ann, a burning question for me. Why did you pick this particular topic to focus on for this week's podcast? Because a hearing on this was a couple of weeks ago, right?
So the debate around HB 1145, it's dovetailing with a federal challenge that's going on right now. A group of parents sued after Louisiana passed its bill requiring the Ten Commandments. And last Thursday, the federal appeals court started hearing oral arguments in that case. So The debate over HB 1145 is an example of a national tension over how Christianity shows up in our educational spaces.
So where does the North Dakota bill stand?
Representative Hoverson has amended the bill. I suspect this is in response to the majority of testimony on the legislative website opposed to HB 1145. And it would change the language that the Ten Commandments are required to be posted in schools, not every classroom, and that the cost of them would have to come from private funds. So he has made those changes to HB 1145.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math.
Well, on a very related note to the Ten Commandments and hot off the press, the Supreme Court on Friday announced that it would decide whether states can reject religious schools from receiving public funding as charter schools. Not yet kind of an issue here in North Dakota, but maybe it could be one day. How the Supreme Court rules will have implications for religious entities seeking public funds for educational spaces. So it all ties into this whole question of separation of church and state, which this Ten Commandments issue brings to the forefront. So, Ann, it's numbers time. What are your three numeros for the week?
5,250. That's how many electronic tabs or thereabouts there are in North Dakota at gaming sites. So these, like, you go into a bar, you'll see like these colorful panels. Those are e-tabs, not the pull tabs that you'd like buy at a gas station or something. And the Senate passed a bill last week that would change which organizations could benefit from the revenue that is collected at these gaming sites, because charities can get revenue from these gaming sites.
Right. Lots of competition among organizations for getting those dollars. Next number.
35,000. That's about how many birds fly over North Dakota in a night during peak migration. There's a bill in the Senate to create Dark Sky Week in April that would encourage residents to limit the use of lights. We think of the skies as a bird's habitat. Light pollution does affect their migration path.
A bill for the birds.
A bill for the birds. And so for my last number, 47, Leonard Peltier, the American Indian Movement member, he spent 47 years in prison after being convicted for the murder of two FBI agents in 1975. President Biden commuted his sentence last week, and he is expected to come home to North Dakota after his release in February.
Well, thank you for checking out In Session. Share around, like us, leave a review. I edited this week's episode. Christine McClellan is our communications manager here at Prairie Public, and Leah Peterson is our digital communications specialist. I'm Eric Deathridge.
I'm Ann Olquist.
See you next week.